Okay, we'll be getting started in just 1 minute or so. Last few people get into the door. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Thanks for coming on this last day of the conference. I'm Mark Wall. I'm a program manager and architect for Microsoft Identity and Access Management Products and Technologies. So my team is responsible for Forefront Identity Manager, the Microsoft Behold Suite, and also various components that are identity or access or management related of other Microsoft products and services. My particular focus is on aspects of identity and access for larger or hybrid organizations, organizations that are spanning multiple diverse locations or on-prem and cloud resources, or have particular complexity such as multi-forest, multi-directory, heterogeneous systems, and so on. What I'm going to be talking about today is some of the investments that we've made in our recently released Forefront Identity Manager 2010 R2 product that focus on one specific problem we know many organizations have today with their Active Directory deployment, as well as other directories, password reset. Particularly, how do we reduce the number of calls to administrators, calls to help desk for password reset, and enable users to reset the passwords themselves? Now, who in the room is using FIM 2010? Oh, good crowd. Okay, so let's start with something you should all recognize, FIM Portal. Now, this is the R2 release candidate version. I just happen to have a snapshot here. If you use FIM 2010, this will not be of any surprise to you. Now, one thing you might have remembered from FIM 2010 is that although this is the administrator view and it's a little cluttered, you'll see that there is a user section so users can join groups and edit their profile and reset their password. And if you were at the portal as an end user and you clicked register for password reset, probably nothing would happen. Otherwise, you get some weird ActiveX error message because you didn't have client software installed, you were running the wrong browser, your machine wasn't domain joined. So while we did deliver an experience for self-service password reset in FIM 2010, it had a number of limitations. Specifically, the password reset experience we delivered in FIM 2010 was focused on the problem of how do we allow users to reset their passwords from their domain-joined Windows laptops or desktop computers. Now, there's certainly a number of organizations that have that problem. A lot of people are going to go into the office and sit down at their computer that was provided to them by their company that's domain-joined, and after the long weekend, they'll have forgotten their password so they can reset it. So that scenario we addressed in FIM 2010. But we also know that there's a lot of other scenarios in which you need to reset your password. You could be using a different browser. You could be running on a different platform. You could be on a Windows computer but not domain joined. And so a lot of the organizations that I work with gave us a lot of good feedback, shall I say, that we needed to do more in the 2010 R2 release. So that's what we focused on. Specifically, we provided some additional interfaces. So here's the password reset registration experience in FIM 2010 R2. It's a little bit cleaner. It's a little bit more branded for the organization, in which case Woodgrove Bank. And although it's still running in Internet Explorer, had this been Mozilla, had this been an iPad, I would have seen the same page. There's no fancy Windows service running behind the scenes on this computer. There's no fancy ActiveX controls. This is a plain old HTML JavaScript application. So I can go through and click Next and just do what I did with the FIM 2010. And now here it is. How do we do password reset at Microsoft? We require the user to answer some questions or provide some information that we then store and remember about the user, that if the user then later on when they've forgotten their password provides the same information, then great, we've identified who they are through an alternate means and now we can allow them to reset their password. So favorite teacher, Fred Rogers. I'm an ordinary user, I'm bored, I don't like doing this. I'm employee number one, and it's Josh. Okay, oh no. Yes, so one of the feedbacks was, yeah, people are going through and we tell them to register for password reset and they're typing 123, 123, 123 as their answers because they can't be bothered, which kind of defeats the purpose of having secret answers if people are just going through the motions. So we can use a little validation here. We can check that the answers are something a little bit sensible if this is what the organization is relying upon as the password equivalent. So that's new. And we can do some other things for challenging the user. One way we challenge the user, in fact, the only way we challenge the user in FIM 2010 was question and answers. You provide the answers when you register. We ask you the questions again when you're trying to reset. And if your answers match, you're in. For some organizations, that works. For others, that's not appropriate. Maybe we don't have good questions we can ask everyone in our community. Maybe we don't have a good experience for getting the users to register. So there's some other things we can do. We could send an email to the user with a challenge rather than displaying it on the screen. Now, we could send it to their corporate email account, but if they've forgotten their password, they probably can't get at their corporate email. So we could allow the user to put in an alternate email address. Maybe their live account or some other account. Or if they have an SMS-capable phone, they could register their phone number. So what happens here is that when they're going through and they said, oh, I've forgotten my password, I'm going to reset, they get a challenge to their SMS phone that gives them the number. They then go to the reset page, they type in that number, and we've identified them that way. So this is mix and match. Here, I just showed that as the administrator, I gave the user three gates. Question answer, like what we had before, provide your alternate email address or provide a phone number, and you can send an SMS to it. And so now when a user goes and does a reset page and, Contoso, P. Green, what do we happen? Okay, we have to go through this. I'm going to provide my answers. They'll match. It's going to send an email to the president. Obama will call me up. I'll get the challenge from him. Then I'll get an SMS message. Okay, I'm not going to go through that demo. You know what's going to happen. Okay, so now that we've gone through the demo, we can get back to the meat of the talk, which is, hopefully that looked a little bit better than the experience you had in FIM 2010, which is a little slow, and while was integrated nicely into the Windows login experience, probably didn't look like any of the applications you have in your organization. So now I want to talk about how we built that at Microsoft. What are the design choices we made? What are the ways in which you can configure and customize this? And what are the options that we provide to you? So the scenario which I just showed, users can still have the password reset experience from the domain join PC. We didn't remove that. That's still an option. But we gave a new option, the browser. In FIM 2010, we had questions and answers. Still there. We added more in FIM 2010 R2. You get a one-time challenge via SMS or via email. And then however you get authenticated, now that we know who you are, we allow the user to pick a new password. So, where can you find this wondrous technology? This is now out there in general availability with FIM 2010 R2. You can go to MSDN, download it. If you're a FIM 2010 customer with software assurance, you've got the CALS, then you can go to your volume license site or however you get software and get the new version of R2. It adds this new feature, adds some historical reporting, and there's other things that, just as a quick plug, are also being released this month that maybe of interest as well. We have additional connectors, SAP, Oracle, PeopleSoft, Domino and so on. I'm not going to talk about that. And then many of you, I believe, went to the talk by my colleague Rob DeYoung earlier this morning about the Microsoft Behold Suite. So all three of these together, FIM 2010 R2 with the password reset, historical reporting, the additional connectors, and the Microsoft Behold Suite, we believe this set of capabilities addresses a lot of the questions and feedback that we got when we did the FIM 2010 release, and basically helps you to complete the scenario and gives you more deployment options. Because we did a survey at TechEd in the US last year for customers that had already started doing FIM 2010 deployments with SSPR, and they said, well, I like the idea of password reset, and I want to show that to my boss, show it to the manager, show it to the executives of my company. So I got it all set up. And then the executive walks in with this shiny new tablet, something he just got from, the Best Buy or Apple Store or whatever, and say, hey, I've got this new tablet. Can I do password reset from it? Well, no, we couldn't, because your tablet wasn't going to be domain joined. So we've fixed that. People with phones experience, say, well, I'm never going to domain join my phone. but can I still do my reset? I've got my phone handy. I want to reset my password so I can get back and get my email. So yes, we provided that. People who said, well, question and answer doesn't really work for our community. They said, there's only so many questions we can ask. We're limited by regulations. We're limited by the agreements we have with the unions. We're limited by our user community, which might be very diverse. We can't identify some good questions. Give us some alternative options, Microsoft. And so we did. We gave some additional gates that we hope will allow more deployment of self-service password reset. And then finally, we heard, you've got an experience for password reset that only goes through Windows. Okay, could you fix that? We did. And also, it kind of looks like a Windows experience, which is, if my users are trained to provide their password or provide their authentication credentials when they see my company's signaling, branding, and so on, rather than Microsoft, that's the experience we'd like to have. How can we customize the experience so that it looks more like the rest of our company's IT? So we provided that. We also got some feedback around the administrative experiences. When we had the question and answer challenge, they said, how do we get everyone in our company to register and provide these answers? Do we have to go around to everyone's desk and wait there and say, okay, provide your answers? Can you nag the users? Can we lock the user out until they do this? Well, no, we don't really want to lock the user out. Maybe there's a way we can do this behind the scenes so we don't have to bother the users. Because nagging everyone to register for password reset is not the kind of thing that IT likes to do. IT doesn't want to say, you know, you really should do this because it'll help you later on. If there's a way we can provide a behind-the-scenes approach that IT can just take care of it. So we added that. And then finally, we had organizations that came up after TechEd and said, yeah, I like the idea. I went and downloaded the software. Never used FIM before. I had installed it. And then I got lost. You gave me a document. It ran on for like 30 pages, step-by-step guide. It was like building one of those little model kits. If I left out any step along the way, the whole thing didn't work, and I had no idea why. How do we make this easier so at least I can try out this feature and see if I'm interested in it without requiring all this work for me to do? So all of these requests that we heard from customers about a year ago are things we put into this R2 release. I'm going to talk through how they work. So primarily what I'm going to be focusing on is once you get past the install experience for FIM 2010 R2, what are some things that can be done to simplify the configuration as well as to provide additional configuration options, additional ways to customize and deploy the software for a wider range of scenarios with R2 than what we supplied with FIM 2010. So let's start with what we have in FIM 2010 R2. Probably many of you who have been using the product before know about the Sync service, know about FIM service, FIM portal. What we've added new in the R2 release are two new portals, the FIM password registration and reset portals. These two portals are standalone IIS web applications. They do not sit on top of SharePoint. You can put them next to SharePoint if you want to, but unlike the FIM portal, which does the self-service group management and all the administrator UX, the password reset and registration portals are designed to be much more lightweight. You can deploy them more easily because they have fewer dependencies. They don't require a local database. All they need is connectivity back to the FIM service. The FIM client for doing the domain join password reset, that's still there, effectively unchanged. The only change we made for the FIM client for the Control-Alt-Delete, now I've forgotten my password experience, has been we took out registration from the Windows client. Registration, we now send everyone to the FIM password registration portal. And then finally, we have the FIM Sync password change notification service. Again, this is not a component required for SSPR, but if you're connecting to multiple directories and you want not only password resets, but password changes to go to other directories from Active Directory to, say, a Sun directory or an IBM system, then you need the password reset, password change components as well. So what we primarily added are these password reset and registration portals for two scenarios. First, the same scenario as we had in FIM 2010, where the user is primarily on a domain-joined Windows computer, a laptop, or desktop, and they're using the password reset extensions that integrate with the Windows login experience. That experience for reset is the same. The experience for registration is different. Instead, the user from a browser goes to a password reset portal. The other new capability we've added from those portals in the upper left is now the concept that because they're simply web portals that don't require ActiveX controls or SharePoint to be deployed or anything too fancy, it's much easier to have people coming from the internet, if that scenario makes sense for your organization, to reset their password. Maybe you have contractors who have accounts in Active Directory but are never going to be walking around in the building with the domain joined computer. Maybe you have users with a cell phone and they need to be able to get at their email, but sometimes they forget their password. How can they reset their password from a smartphone browser or from a kiosk? So we enable these scenarios with a simpler portal that is easier to deploy next to your proxy, next to your DMZ. It's harder to deploy, though certainly possible, the full glorious FIM portal experience for extranet environments. It's achievable, but oftentimes what we heard from our customers was the first thing they want to do is password reset from the internet. Later on, they'll worry about self-service profile management or group management for the internet. But just password reset, that's the problem. Now, at the bottom, what we've also added are calls out from the FIM service to an optional email or SMS provider. If you want to take advantage of those two new challenge gates I showed earlier, where the user could provide an alternate email address or a phone number of an SMS-capable phone and get a challenge delivered to them through those means, then FIM service needs to talk to those. Now, this is important because sometimes I get questions like, well, how do I point my password reset registration portal to the SMS provider? And the answer is you don't. All the workflows, all the logic that I'm going to be talking about run in the FIM service itself. Those portals for password reset and registration are effectively stateless. They store no data. Apart from the FIM service itself, they don't talk to anything. Okay. So how do you go about installing? Probably the order I'd recommend is start with sync, service, and portal. Let's assume you've already done that. So now we've got the password reset portals. How do you install? Well, you go to the installer, you get these options. You can install them on the same box as FIM Service FIM Portal if you wish to do so. You won't be able to run them on port 80 because SharePoint is probably lurking on port 80 and SharePoint really wants to own that port. You can put it on a different port. You can put it on a different box if you want to. The only questions it really asks you are, other than where to get to the FIM service, are first, is this portal that you're installing intended to be accessed by the internet as a whole, by users on the extranet? Now, that doesn't change anything at all in the configuration of the product. It doesn't go through and do any special security hardening. All it does is it saves the answer to that question, because then if you later decide I'm going to have two different experiences, one for the users who are within the intranet and one for the users who are on the internet, I could then use this information to have different challenge gates. Maybe Q&A is good enough for users who are on the internet, because my security policy says if you got in the building, you can reset your password with knowledge. But we don't want random people on the internet trying to say, ooh, I wonder what high school that person went to. I can try to guess the answer to that. So maybe for the request coming in from the extranet, we could have additional gates. I'll show later when we talk about the workflow how we're going to use this information. But right now, it's just a choice. And if you choose wrong, not a big deal. Uninstall, reinstall the portal, and choose differently. You can have multiple portals, different ones configured as being extranet-facing versus intranet-facing. The only other thing you'll need for installing password reset registration or reset is what account do they run under. You'll need an account in Active Directory for the portal itself, so it has its own identity to talk to FIM service. That way FIM service knows, who's talking to me? Is it the user themselves trying to reset their password from Windows, or is it a portal? So now I've done the install. I got the two new portals showing up here in IIS. At this point, I am not done, because our installers create the bindings for HTTP. This is probably not where you want to leave it for any real deployment, because as you saw when I gave the demo, both of the portals, both for registration to make sure I'm really there, I'm not just, I left my computer open and someone's trying to reset or register my password, as well as reset, are going to ask me for my password. Probably don't want that going in clear text. So unless I'm using IPsec, the first thing I want to do is think about how am I going to configure the HTTPS, the SSL bindings for these portals. I thought about maybe in the installer going through and setting this up automatically, but decided not to because unlike the certificates that are embedded within the FIM service, these certificates are visible to the client machine. The end user's browsers need to be able to go and validate the certificate as part of standard SSL interaction. And so if you're going to be deploying an internet-facing portal or one that's intended for mobile phones or tablets or so on, you'd probably want to get your CA certificate in those tablets first or have the certificate that this site is using be part of some trust chain that browsers tend to accept, maybe VeriSign or Thought or one of the other well-known CAs. So because you'll need a certificate in order to protect this, either one that you do self-signed or your own CA or from a trusted CA, you'll need to find one and get that certificate installed on your IIS portals. The next thing you'll want to do is set up Kerberos. I could spend an entire hour on Kerberos, but I won't. Instead, I've just put a couple links on here. You'll get the slides afterwards. Strongly recommend that when you're going through doing this configuration, you understand all about SetSPN, the need for Kerberos settings. If you set up the FIM portal before, especially on a scaled-out environment where I have multiple FIM services, multiple FIM portals, you probably already encountered this. If you're going to be setting up the password reset or registration portals where you have specific CNAMEs for the sites themselves, like rather than calling the site just the name of the box, you call it something like passwordreset.contoso.com, you might need to use SetSPN. So definitely read the articles here. There's some good references about Kerberos in general, as well as a few articles that are specific to Kerberos for FIM-facing portals, because these portals need to act on behalf of the users, so we need to have the Kerberos set up properly. The final configuration step for post-installation of the portals is if your portal is going to be internet-facing, if you have people coming from the outside world, you'll need to set up your proxy to allow traffic to it. The good news is it's just port 80 traffic, or 443 traffic, just HTTP traffic. We don't do Kerberos to the browser. We don't do anything funny like that. If you set up IIS for some weird Kerberos thing, that's IIS's problem, but the portals themselves don't need anything specific from the end user's device for password reset, just standard web page. The next thing you can do is you can add language packs. So we have a couple language packs for the portals. All the experiences that are delivered through Outlook add-ins, the Windows add-in, and our new password reset and registration portals are localized to these 33 languages. These languages are basically the same languages as Office minus the right-to-left languages, Hebrew and Arabic. We only got time to do the left-to-right languages. And there's more languages that we've localized the password reset registration portals for than we have the group management or the administrative interfaces. So we focused on things that we believe the majority of end users are going to encounter first. Okay, now you spot your favorite language. Now remember what I said with FIM 2010. Yes, we made the feature available in FIM 2010. We also made available this guide, a document, that was incredibly long and required complete attention to detail. If you got distracted as a system administrator in setting up password reset on FIM 2010 by, say, a phone call or something exciting on the news, and then you came back and you forgot a step, well, it's all over. Give up, start over. So he said, we need to make this a lot easier. We need to make it easier for people who just says, hey, password reset, sounds interesting, but I don't know what I'm doing. Help me out. So we did. We made a quick start commandlet that once you've installed FIMSync, FIMService, and the password reset portals, though it doesn't talk to those, it'll now go through and put in the configuration you need to at least get data from Active Directory all the way through sync into FIM with all the configuration you need so you can start trying out password reset. And it's one command that invoke quick start. There's a whole host of arguments because it's going and talking to so many different components. It needs to know what Active Directory container you want, the databases, all the credentials you need. But I think you'll agree that this is probably a lot easier than following the step-by-step guide if all you want to do is just say, hey, password reset, does it work for me or not? Now what this will do is this will bring in from one container. Probably the way you'd want to do this is you'd pick an OU, let's say, go to Active Directory, say, here's an OU that has a couple users that I'm interested in trying out password reset for. I'll specify that container. I'll specify all the databases, the addresses, the username and passwords from when I installed sync and service. And now when this completes, when the command is done, all the initial synchronizations will have been performed. The data will have been read in from AD into FimSync, been then exported from FimSync into FimService, which, by the way, in R2 is much, 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 much faster. So now the data is in FimService. All your MPRs, your workflow, your set definitions are there and enabled for SSPR. So the next thing you can do once you've finished Invoke Quick Start is go to that portal I showed earlier and type in the registration data and try it out. It'll set up your Q&A gate. You can see if you like it or not. You can customize the gates. But this will make the getting started easier. Now, the policies that it's set up here with Invoke Quick Start are really a quick start. They're really a getting started policy. Once you run the Invoke Quick Start and show your manager and say, look, see, this is so much easier. I can now reset my own password. I don't have to call help desk. You'll say, great, now let's roll this out to production. At that point, you'll probably want to take these policies and do some configuration. I mean, if you look at the policy that we put in here, it'll talk about Fabricam and all this stuff, because we don't know the name of your company. So at this point, you'll want to do some policy configuration. But at least Quick Start will get you started, so now you know what to do next. So what do you need to think about for the password reset policy? Well, first is, of course, what are the requirements? What does your security officer tell you you're allowed to do for self-service password reset? What do you do today for password reset? Do you say, well, if you can get help desk on the phone and sound like the person you're trying to reset their password, if you can impersonate their voice, you know, is that good enough? Does help desk check something in the database? Does it say, okay, you claim to be Bill Gates, but what's Bill Gates' salary? If you can match that, then I'll let you reset their password. Or what is his manager's name? That's a trick question. So the first is, of course, security requirements. The question is, which of those authentication methods that we showed, question and answer, sending an SMS, sending an email, work for your community of users? And you may have more than one community of user, and that's okay, because you can configure different categories. You can say if you're a university that for the students, I'm not going to ask the students any questions about, you know, what's their favorite band, because that's going to change like every week. Instead, I'm going to use the alternate email. We know that all of our students have some email from someplace, a Hotmail account or a Gmail account that they got, you know, for free. And for a student, the security barrier is pretty low. So we'll just use for the students the email notification gate. For our faculty, they're doing some sensitive work. They've got some, you know, valuable information. So for the faculty, we'll require question answer and email notification. Or maybe for contractors, it'll be SMS. Whatever makes sense. The other aspect for categorizing your users is if you're using the question and answer gate, or the email, or the SMS, in our workflows, we allow you to pick one language that the questions, that the email message, or that the SMS text string is in. Now, if you want to, you can write a question that is, in English, if you can read this, answer it this way, and if you are reading French, answer it this way. You could write a really long question like that. But some customers say, well, I've got two communities of users, the English-speaking and the French-speaking. And the English-speaking don't want to see anything that's French, and the French speakers don't want to see anything that's English. How do I configure this in FIM? And you can if you have some attribute on the user in FIM service in its database on the user that says, what is their language of choice? If you go to FIM service database and you create a preferred language attribute, you can allow the user to set that. And then you can create two sets, one set of users which have language of English, one of French. You can also tell the set of people who didn't make a choice that maybe you still want to allow them to reset their passwords. Once you have these two sets, then you can go to the FIM workflows, sorry, go to the FIM management policy rules for password reset and remove the default anonymous users can reset their password and password reset users set, create new MPRs, and we'll go through and document all this eventually. You can talk to me afterwards if you want to know how, for how to create the policies for each user language community. So you have policies, workflows for French, policies, workflows for English. Or if it's different user communities based on the gates, you have contractor policies, faculty policies, student policies. You may also have policies that are specific to just requests from the extranet. People coming in from the mobile phone, hey, if they're going to come in from the internet, I'm going to send them a message to their SMS phone. But if the request is coming in from inside the network, I'm just going to do Q&A gate because maybe they don't have their phone with them. Or maybe I'm not going to require a phone for my employees who are on premises because they just may not be carrying a phone with them as part of their job. So each one of these policies will result in FIM, set definitions, how to identify the users, the management policy rules, what happens when one of those users tries to register or reset their password, and finally, the workflows. The workflows specify what are the gates. You have to have at least one gate, Q&A, authentication with SMS, authentication via email, but you could have more than one gate. You can have, you know, two or three gates if you want to. And you can configure which gates apply based on that setting when you installed the portal in the first place. The other thing that you want to do when you're thinking about these communities and languages and so on, that's very important to call out here, make sure you're identifying your service accounts, your system accounts, your administrative accounts. You probably don't want your domain administrator account to register for password reset. It's probably a bad idea because who's going to remember, you know, who was the administrator that day and what was their favorite color? What was the name of their first pet? You know, this is not appropriate. So when you're thinking about your set definitions, be sure you're scoping out any of these administrative or system or, you know, not tied to any given person account, because those accounts probably you don't want self-service reset. If the domain administrator has forgotten their password, you probably not want them trying to reset it via their mobile phone from a remote site. You probably want help desk, a real security officer involved in that activity. Okay, so let's say we've now got our policy identified. What's next? Picking the gates. Well, as I said, some of the gates are going to depend upon what the users want. Others are going to depend upon what's appropriate to use for the security requirements. And then what are the requirements that we have for the users themselves? Our SMS gate basically is designed to send a message to an SMS phone. So if your users are not expected to all have phones, then you probably don't want to put them in a policy that says, enter your phone here and have them say, I don't know. It'll also require you to have a contract with some kind of SMS provider. No, you don't get a free SMS service from Microsoft with every copy of FIM. Well, we found many of our FIM customers, the larger ones, had a contract already. Maybe they're using it for some marketing purpose. We also did an investigation. We found that there are numerous smaller SMS providers that are designed to provide low-volume messaging. So you don't have to go work with a Vodafone or a T-Mobile. If you just have, you know, hey, I'm going to be doing 30 messages a month, there might be pay by the message or pay by the monthly subscriptions that are appropriate for this as well. So we don't lock you into any one provider. And then the email gate, we expect that the email gate would be for individuals who have some email that's not protected by this password you're trying to reset. So that means it's probably going to go to some personal account, a Hotmail or some other account, or I think Facebook has mail now, so one of these other accounts. So again, you're going to have to check with your security officer and see if that's appropriate. Is getting a message to that account going to be suitable as part of password reset experience? Now, we don't send the password to the email account. This isn't like one of those things where you get an email saying, your new password is, and like, well, anyone who read that email now has your password forever. The only thing we send to that email account or in the SMS message is a challenge, and a challenge is only good for some configurable period of time, you know, a few minutes while you're going through the password reset experience. Afterwards, it's of no value. You can't steal someone's email, hold on to it for a year, come back in and use that challenge in order to in order to try to reset their password again. It's only good once. So what did we change in the question answer gate? As you know, we had that in FIM 2010. We allowed you to specify how many questions the users had to answer of the questions. We fixed what the questions were. The administrator had to pick the questions. We got a request to allow users to pick their own questions, but we weren't able to get to that in the R2 release. So in R2, the administrator is still picking the questions. The answers that the user provides are salted and hashed, not just hashed. So even if someone goes and steals the disk out of your FIM service database, which hopefully won't happen, you do not have password hashes in there. You have salts of the answers. So what do we add new in the configuration for question and answer? What we added was some new checks. What is the requirement for the answers? You can have a regular expression. You can say, well, it has to be, you know, at least 3 characters and no duplicates. Some basic rules like that. And we also allow you to customize the message of what happens if the answer doesn't match. There's a default message, or you could say something like, according to our organization policy number 57, your answers have to be at least 5 characters. So the fact that your first pet's name was Bo, you're going to have to get a new first pet. So that's pretty much unchanged. What's new? The OTP. So we have 2 new attributes in FIM service on the user themselves: OTP mobile phone, OTP email address. If you go to the FIM portal, you'll be able to see these attributes in the advanced view as the administrator. You can set these attributes through just normal FIM portal interaction. Go to FIM service, web service, or the portal and change them. Or you can change them during the registration experience itself. And what you can do is you can configure in the registration page whether you want to allow the user to change the value or not. Now, what's this all about? I'll give a hint. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about programmatic registration, which is how do we supply the data so we don't have to bug the users during registration. We might be programmatically flowing in data. Let's say you're a university, and you're going to onboard 20,000 new students at the beginning of the semester. During the students saying, I want to sign up and take classes at your university, they supplied an email address. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. So you might go through and be pre-populating the user accounts with this email address that they supplied. At this point, you can say, do I want, if the user is now registering for password reset, maybe you've got more than one gate, Q&A, SMS, and email. You can then say, do I want the user to be able to change that email address? Maybe the user will be looking at this saying, oh yeah, that was my Hotmail account I had a year ago, but that wasn't very cool. I've got a new account name that's much cooler, so I want to change it. Or you might say, no, the data is coming in from a known good source. We've got some authoritative database of all this information. We're collecting it. We're tracking it as part of our emergency contact system for our staff. I don't want the user changing it here because they really should be changing it someplace else. In which case, we can just make that screen be read-only during reset. You can see what value is there. It's like, hey, when you try to reset your password, we'll be sending you an email address to this address. We can see what the value is. So how does this configuration look like? Well, again, it's in our workflow designer. You can specify whether it's read-only, read-write. You can specify how complex this one-time password is, you know, 3 characters, 4 characters, whatever your requirement is. And then for the email, you can specify an email template. So if you want to write a nicely formatted HTML message that says, here's our company's logo, and here's a little disclaimer from the security team saying, if you've got this message in error, please, you know, throw it away. And it also put in the one-time password value. So all of this is configurable for the email gate, much like you're configuring any other kind of email coming from FIM. The SMS gate is a little bit simpler. You can, again, specify the length of the one-time password, how many digits. And because it's SMS, we don't give you the full glorious HTML configuration. It's basically a text string. You know, the code is blank. So now that you've configured these gates, now you have to say, well, how do I make it work? Now, if it's Q&A, no change needed. FIM already knows how to do that. If it's email, well, we can go point FIM to an email server. Pretty straightforward. If it's SMS, here we had a problem. when I went and talked to all these SMS providers and companies using SMS providers saying, what is the protocol that all the SMS providers use? Well, you know, every time you ask a question, what is the protocol, you get about five answers. Here, we got five answers. Oh, yes, there's a standard, but only in our industry. Oh, yes, there's a standard, but we didn't adopt it. We really want you to use our protocol. So we couldn't figure out what is the one protocol that would work for all of our customers. So instead, we left it up to you to provide the interface. You identify what's the interface that your SMS provider uses. Maybe it's a REST HTTP request. Maybe it's the Office OMS request. Maybe it's an Etsy standard. Whichever is the one that your SMS provider is telling you, here's how you get us an SMS. And then you write a DLL. Yes, I know it's code. You write a DLL and plug this into FIM. FIM service. The good news is you only have to do one API. You have to implement this function. And in this function, you only have to care about the first two parameters. You can ignore the second two parameters. All you have to do is write a function called sendSMS. We give you the mobile number and give you the message. Figure out how to get this over to your SMS provider. And the request ID is just there for logging purposes. So if the SMS provider is down and you want to write something to your event log that says, hey, I'm trying to do this and it's down, and you want the administrator to be able to correlate, you know, which request is failing, we give you the GUID of the request. If you want to get started with this, we've got a sample code on our lab. There's a provider we as a team signed up for in the US, and we looked at what interface they provided, and so we basically made a sample for that one. If it's a HTTP-based provider, this sample code that you'll get from our TechNet article will probably work for you. Just customize, put in your organization's email address and account username and password that the provider gave you when you signed up, and you're good to go. The reason why we have this flexibility, not only because there's more than one standard out there, but also we know that for many of the larger organizations, if you're a major multinational with, you know, consumer-facing services and you want to do SMS, you may have an SMS contract already, but probably that's being driven as part of some other team in your company. They have a big marketing arrangement with an SMS provider, like, hey, we're going to allow, you know, 100,000 people to sign up for SMS and get notifications and so on. And we know that in many jurisdictions, including in the U.S., if you're going to be doing something with SMS at that volume, the regulators get involved with all these requirements, like, oh, you have to not spam people. You know, you have to, if you get a response back that says stop, you have to send stop, and, you know, whatever the requirement of your regulator is. Well, we don't know what the requirements are for you in your industry, and so that's why we provide this API, because you may already have some service. If you're a big multinational that does consumer-facing services, you may already have something in your company that does all the SMS traffic, and you could then just call that from this API. But if not, it's not that hard to do. So remember I said programmatic registration. This was the second thing that people were complaining about with FIM 2010, which is, I don't like having to nag all my users. How do we make this simpler so that as an IT professional, without writing any code, I can just get all the data that FIM needs for password reset? Because really, it's what I want as an IT pro, to be able to just say, don't worry, password reset is already taken care of, and the moment the user's forgotten their password, that's the first time they have to get involved. They don't have to think about, what would happen if I forgot my password? We're not in the insurance business. So in the FIM automation snap-in, we've got some new commandlets. One that says, for a workflow, you know, what are the different gates involved, what we call a template that just says what we need to provide for a different gate. For a Q&A gate, it's the answers. For the OTP, it's the email address or an SMS number. And then given that, we can register and unregister and test to see if a user's registered or not. So these are kind of basic building block commandlets. We've got a couple of scenarios that are documented on TechNet for how to use them. You know, one thing that we hear is, hey, in our organization, we already built our own SMS service. We already built our own self-service password reset. We already did that. And we've got all the answers already collected up. Now we want to move to FIM. We don't want to maintain our own custom version anymore. How do we get all the answers out of what we did already and put them into FIM? So, I mean, you can do that. And this is something that one of our customers did. They wrote a script using register authentication workflow and simply provided all the answers in bulk. Another one is the scenario I was talking about earlier, which is the university, when they're onboarding the students, they're collecting information from the students during an onboarding process, like what's your alternate email address, what's your home email address. And so if we've got a process already to onboard the user and we've got data flowing in and we're able to then trigger FIM to go do various things like create accounts for them and so on, we could also have a script that takes that information coming in from, say, a student information system and drives the PowerShell to go talk to FIM service and create the appropriate object. So the users can be automatically registered. The final thing you can do with password reset commandlets is deregistration. So deregistration would be primarily for scenarios of a user is going to go on leave. So we get a flag coming in from the HR system saying this user is going to be on extended leave for 6 months. Probably when they're on leave, they're not going to be watching to see if people are trying to hack into their account. So we want to turn off password reset for them. They don't need a self-service password reset capability if they're not logging in because they're supposed to be on leave. So we can then kind of improve the security of our system by deregistering those users automatically. Then, of course, when they come back off leave, then once they're back on the network, they can register again. But we don't want these answers there just in case the user tries to, you know, guess and tries to do a reset when they shouldn't. Okay, final topic. How do we customize the portal? So at the beginning, I showed the portal experience for Woodgrove Bank. You were able to customize the portal in FIM 2010 for group management and profile management and so on. It wasn't possible to customize really the password reset experience because it was so tightly embedded in Windows. But now that it's a web portal, you're able to customize it using standard, you know, web techniques. So how do you do it? It's fairly straightforward. And because it's an IIS application using modern techniques like style sheets and so on, pretty straightforward. There's folders below where we install FIM that have the portals. You can create a new CSS styled sheet, and we document how you can customize that. So changing the logo is, you know, basically two lines of change. You put the new logo image on there and reference it from the style. If you want to customize a text message, we have a resources file. So we specify which of the keys are there. So if you've done any development before for localized applications, you know about these regex files. So you can go through and specify what are going to be the new values. So if you want to say, rather than, you know, welcome to password reset, you can say, welcome to Woodgrove password reset. It's a simple string change in this regex file. Okay. Now, one thing I mentioned at the beginning was the other new feature we added in FIM 2010R2 is historical reporting. So I want to talk a little bit about how that relates to self-service password reset. Well, first of all, in case you're not familiar with it, is this is yet another database alongside of FIM. It's built on top of Service Manager. Service Manager built a great data warehouse, and so rather than building our own data warehouse over in the identity team, we just leveraged that. If you did not buy a copy of System Center 2010, you know, that's okay. You get a license grant for the data warehouse components when you get FIM 2010R2. So in this data warehouse, what we store are all the changes to information in FIM that are going to be affecting other systems. So what do we track? You know, new accounts. We created a new user. We put them into a group. Who approved that? So all the requests, all the approvals, all the changes are going into this historical database. That includes password reset operations. So I can track through self-service password reset which users have been resetting their passwords. The one thing that I cannot track through the historical database is who tried to reset their password and was unsuccessful. This is because the only thing we're recording in the historical database today are completed requests, requests that went all the way through and committed a change to the database. So if you want to ask questions of how many of my users have reset their passwords successfully, how many of my users have registered, yes, you can do that. If you want to say, is anyone recently tried to reset their password and failed, you can ask that of the FIM service database, but we don't have a historical record over, you know, over years of failed resets. So that's just FYI, in case you look at what you can do with this, with the historical reporting and SSPR. So how do you go about doing this? So I've showed you all the pieces. The first thing and most important is, of course, you know, once you've gone through and played around, the quick start is making sure you identify your policy. Are you scoping out the administrative accounts, the system accounts, the accounts for which it's not appropriate for password reset? Do you need to have more than one password reset policy in FIM because you have multiple communities of users? Do you have students versus faculty, people who are going to be primarily remote workers versus people who are primarily office workers? You have different policies because you have more than one language of interest, people who want English answers versus French email messages. So identifying this policy is the most important step, because you want to do that before you start doing any configuration. If you go through and say, well, I've already got everything configured, people are starting to register, and then I need to change my password, that's going to force re-registration. Probably not the experience you want to have. So once you've identified your policy of what users will be in what category, and based on those categories, you can then start creating the artifacts in FIM, the sets, the MPRs, the workflow definitions, the workflows having the gates for SMS OTP, email OTP, or Q&A. Then once you've got that configured, how do you want the users to register? You could do that interactively. You could either tell people to go to the portal. You could roll out the FIM client add-ins for Windows. So if the user's on a domain-joined computer and they log into their computer, if they haven't registered yet for one of these workflows you've set up for them, then they'll get a pop bubble in the window occasionally telling them, hey, you should go register. And when they click that, they'll get taken to the registration portal. So that interactive registration experience is certainly an option, but we've also added the programmatic registration. So you can say, I don't want to bug my users. I don't want my users to even think about registration because it's not a value to them. So, but I already have the data. I already have the answers. So if your security policy allows the answers to be something known to the organization, like what's your department code, what's your employee ID, what's the number written on the back of a piece of paper stuck in building 4, you know, whatever the answers are, if the organization already knows the answers for that, then yes, you can pre-populate the users. If you already have their email accounts for their home accounts, if you've already got their SMS messages, go ahead and pre-populate all that. Pre-register all the users so that now the user doesn't have to worry about registration. The moment they forget their password, take them to the password reset page. It'll walk them through the experience. They'll be able to reset their password, get back, be productive again. You can customize the experience. So once you've gone through and figured out how I'm going to register, if you're going to have a password reset experience for web users, people with phones or tablets, then you may want to customize that page. If you're going to require interactive registration, you'll probably want to customize that page as well, because you'll want to customize the registration page, if you're allowing interactive registration, to tell the user about the security policy that's going to affect them. If it's Q&A, you should be in that page, customize it to tell them, here's the information we're collecting. Here's the legal reasons that allow us to do that. Here's the kinds of data that you should or should not provide. If it's email or SMS gates that you're using, you want to customize that to say, here's what you should expect. Here's going to be the impact to you. You know, you may have to pay for these SMS messages. So if you don't like it, then you know, change your profile, go to a different configuration using some other means or call help desk, because this will not work for you. So that's important to customize. And then on the reset page as well, so that the user sees a page and they're able to understand how do they answer the questions, where do they provide the challenges, how do they pick a new password. This is important because when you finally get through during reset, you've answered the challenges, you've answered the questions, you're typing a new password, you don't want the user to be typing in a password and have it fail, because that's going to bother them. So if you have a password policy for your organization, like it must be at least 8 characters and have 3 digits and 4 letters and a strange symbol that you can only type on your keyboard by holding down Alt graphic, then you want to write that policy in the password reset customization, because when you're showing the user, now here's the time for you to set your new password, you want to show them what the policy is that will help them to pick a good password. So they can type in a password, that password change will go to AD, and then they'll be able to log in. Now, if your users are going to be on domain-joined computers, they've got domain joined laptops like we do with Microsoft, or domain joined other devices or desktops. And then you want to roll out the FIM client to add in components so that they have that experience not just from a phone or a mobile or from a kiosk, but also from their computers themselves. And this will be the same experience as we had in FIM 2010. The user walks up to their computer, like this one. They're confronted by the screen. They hit Control Delete. And if I had this computer set up for password reset, from this screen, I could now reset my password. It doesn't need to get the web browser involved. So we can do that interaction there as well, if you have the FIM client. How do you distribute the FIM client? We have a couple of options here at Microsoft. As you know, we have SCCM, which can do software distribution. We have other means, or there's plenty of third-party products out there as well for desktop client software. So to sum up, what we've done in R2 release is basically given you more options. In FIM 2010, we gave you one option. Users on domain-joined computers can interactively register and then reset using Q&A. We've opened this up. You got two options for the UI. Yeah, Windows client, still there, still works, but now you can use a web browser from anything, from your iPad or your Windows tablet, if you have one. It doesn't have to be Q&A. It can be an SMS, email message, whatever works for you. The configuration. Before, it was a difficult, challenging document to go through and complete. Now we've given you more options. A quick start commandlet. If all you want to do is try it out, if you want to get your configuration working and then customize it from there, you can run one commandlet to do that, and that'll create all the configuration, get all the data you need. We don't require the users to register anymore. If you've got the data that are needed for registration, run it through PowerShell. And finally, we give you more options for reporting. So yes, in FIM 2010, you could go to the portal and see, show me a request from today. You could see things that succeeded or failed. That's still true. If you want to track over time, how many users are registering? Who's registered? Who's reset? Are people using this? We have the data warehouse for FIM reporting that gives you more reporting capabilities. We also have other partners out there that provide more reporting on top of FIM as well. So we have a couple of options. So what do we want you to do with all this? Well, the reason why we designed this feature in the first place is to cut down on the work that many of you as AD administrators have to do. Because we know that, as an AD administrator, you have power in the organization. People know who you are. If you're the domain administrator, people say, oh, I need something done. I'll go ask them. They're the domain administrator. So you have to make all these decisions. Help desk has to deal with people calling up help desk and saying, hey, I'm Bill Gates, and I forgot my password. Can you change it for me to my new password of secret? So how do we eliminate that? Because if we can eliminate and go to an automated, repeatable process, then that helps with compliance. We can show the auditor, here's how we categorize the users. We put them in this category based on these attributes. Here's how we challenge them. So it's the same challenge every time. There's no way to stop the workflow partway through and say, I'm really important. Reset my password now. No, you still have to go through the workflow like everyone else. So there's no way to bypass this process in our experience. So we provide the way to track that. So that's going to make compliance easier if you have to do regulatory compliance. And we think that with these options in FIM 2010 R2, for the web-based portal, for automatic registration of users, for more customization, so it doesn't have to be Q&A, it can be SMS, it can be email, we think users are going to be happier. They'll be able to be recovering from a forgotten password with less annoyances and more quickly get back and being productive again. All right, thank you very much. Okay, and you can download all this from MSDN. I left some time at the end because there may be some questions. Otherwise, you can get ready for your next session. Thank you.